This is a BBC podcast. You can get all our podcasts and our terms of use at bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
BBC World Service. I'm Mike Williams, and this is The Why Factor. Today, why do some men choose to dress as women?
I'm Grayson Perry, and I'm an artist, and probably one of the most famous transvestites in the country.
My next door neighbour first saw me and she said, well, I can't carry on calling you Hugh when you're dressed like that. I need to call you Helen.
At the moment, I'm Penny Ellis. I'm also known as Peter. Peter for the majority of my time, but Penny for 2, perhaps 3 days a week.
Well, I'm Alison and I've been married to Peter for 25 years.
She's married to Peter, and she also lives with his alter ego, Penny. And when Peter is Penny, Alison takes the name Lou. It's a complex thing, this desire of some men to dress in clothes normally associated with the female. And it happens everywhere. Here's James Barrett, the consultant psychiatrist and lead clinician at the UK's National Gender Identity Clinic.
Certainly it does seem to happen all over the world. One clue would be that it's something which is specifically prohibited in the Bible, in Levitican texts, and there's really no need to prohibit something which doesn't in any case occur, giving you a clue that it must in fact have happened. Henry III of Valois, he spent a fair proportion of his time ruling as a queen in the Middle Ages, and there's a rhyme about it in French, actually, which roughly translated into English goes, people weren't sure what they'd seen. Was it a queen, king, or a king, queen?
The motivations for cross-dressing vary enormously. For some, it's a matter of aesthetics. For others, it's a sexual turn-on. Some reject the binary of male and female and believe that they lie on a spectrum between the two. And there are those who feel psychologically one thing but are physically the other.
Strictly speaking, somebody who displays transvestism, a transvestite, is somebody who wears the clothes of the opposite sex. It's applied to males, seemingly always. Somebody displays transsexualism if they seek to live their life as somebody of the opposite sex to that in which they were born and to have their body altered as much as possible to resemble that of the opposite sex. Somebody is transgender, is a loose term that doesn't necessarily mean very much and might include people with transvestism or some sorts of transvestism, and transsexualism.
Transvestite, transgender, transsexual certainly all transgress the rules of society, and that can make for a difficult time.
I think over the last year I have realised that I must be myself, act according to my beliefs and be confident in my abilities. I still find it easier to...
For more than a decade, Alison has kept safe a letter that her husband gave her. She read it to me while he sat quietly next to her, wearing his skirt and top, high boots and blonde wig.
13 years ago, things came to a head when I felt that I needed to kind of reveal the part of me which I'd been keeping hidden. And so I wrote quite a long letter. I felt it was easy to write, because I am a writer. So I wrote this letter explaining what I felt and gave that to Alison, and she sat down and read it.
A long time, as I can remember, I have dreamed of dressing up and making up to look and be accepted as feminine.
What were you thinking as you read that letter?
I was pretty horrified. I think I was probably in shock. There had been nothing in our lives to have prepared me for it. It was a shock. So it was from that moment on, I had to think about ways of working with this third person in our lives. And what I learned very quickly from help from other people in that situation is that I did have the opportunity to call the tune. If Penny wished to continue doing this, it had to be done on my terms. And so I did actually set down some ground rules. One was that Penny was not to dress in or around anywhere that we lived. One of the problems being that even though probably nobody would recognise Penny, they recognise me. And if they recognise me, they want to know who the tall lady is that I'm with.
Peter, I mustn't use Peter. I'm sorry.
I don't mind. On radio, you can't see anyway, so...
Well, OK. Penny, what does it do for you?
Well, I feel relaxed. I suppose it's part of me. I'm expressing part of my character, part of what I want to be. And it's not just about the clothes. It's about the whole feeling of who I am. But it is so difficult to explain. I can't say why I feel like this. I feel I got male parts of my character, female parts of the character, and they come out a bit in how I like to look.
And you also have, well, do you have male and female body parts as well as character parts? I noticed you have breasts as well. Are they real?
No, they're not real. false ones. I am physically totally male. Gender isn't black and white. It's not male, female. Sex is male or female. Gender is something in the head. It's what you feel you are.
Peter says the transformation into Penny is not a fetish. It's just a manifestation of his psyche. Not male, not female, but something in between. It's a conversation that I picked up with the prize-winning artist Grayson Perry at his studio in London, where he works on his ceramics. They are colourful, flamboyant pieces, and often sexually explicit. In many cases, cross-dressing, I am reliably informed by those who do it, has nothing to do with sex.
Who says that? they haven't been to the websites I've been to. If you put in looking like 99% of the websites that do with cross-dressing, they're pretty sexual.
Is it for you?
Well, yes, of course. You know, it was when I was young, yeah, surely. You know, it was a sexual compulsion. It turned me on, yeah.
And these days?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, not... It's like... I always say it's like, you know, having a girlfriend. You don't have sex in the street, you know. But, you know, when you're in your private moment, you can look in the mirror and be turned on. Yeah, of course.
Why does it turn you on? Are you able to put your finger on that?
It's a complex mix. I mean, and I think every cross-dresser probably has a different cocktail. There's no, you know, one size fits all.
This is a top I'm letting out. Because I've done dressmaking courses down by the station, and I've also done Alter Your Clothes with Confidence, which is great fun. Because sometimes that...
This is Hugh, though this afternoon he greets me as Helen and shows me an extensive wardrobe. Clothes for men, clothes for women. Work boots and high heels, handbags and ties. Hugh drives a train on the London Underground. Helen enjoys gardening and dressmaking. Dress wearing, too.
I was probably, teenage years when I started thinking, well, hold on, my sister's got the nice stuff. Why can't I wear that? My sister can wear my stuff. She used to come and raid my wardrobe. I couldn't go into hers. And it's like, well, why not? You tend to put all that to one side. You go out and you do the bloke thing, try and get on with, like, the manly pursuits. Then I was probably, mid-30s when it all starts bubbling up again, you know. Oh, bubbling up again. I want to wear a dress. Little things start. And then eventually you, I suppose, give up fighting and let it come out.
And as you said, it started to bubble up, this desire to wear a dress. How about friends and family then? How did they react when you started to wear women's clothes?
Family, I don't know. I never asked, never discussed. But I'm sure my parents know because they've realised, hold on a minute, I've suddenly started shaving, growing my hair out, had my ears pierced and adapting a more feminine appearance anyhow. Some of my friends know, some don't. Some think I'm a retired hippie. I leave it at that.
Why do you do it? Why do you dress like this?
Short answer is I like it, probably. The women's clothes there is far more available. The colours, styles.
So is it simply a matter of aesthetics for you, or is there something else, something deeper?
For me, there is probably a lot of girl inside me, and she needs to come out and bounce around.
I've got my girls. This is where we fire this evening.
In his studio, Grayson Perry wears overalls smeared with clay and paint. How and when do you dress?
Me now, in my 50s, I dress up when I go out.
Why do you do it?
Oh, but that's a good question, isn't it? Why do we do it? There is something, I mean, in a way you can't have your cake and eat it. In some ways people want to feel like they're subversive and you know, the tradition of pantomime and drag queens and the kind of chaotic, topsy-turvy world of carnival, which is very associated with cross-dressing. You can't have that and be totally accepted as a man in a dress. You know, you've got to choose which one you want, you know. A man in a dress is always going to be inherently kind of amusing.
Why do you think a man in a dress is amusing or provocative in some way?
Well, I think, you know, it goes right back to carnival, when there was that day everything could be topsy-turvy and the peasants were allowed to mock their rulers and the church, and, you know, everything was allowed to go into chaos, and a man dressing as a woman was part of that, and there was something threatening about order about it, I suppose. I always say now that I'm a man in a dress, you know, I don't wear false bosoms, I don't wear any padding, I don't even wear a wig. But I had a kind of Damascene moment when I was about 40. I'd go out and I could pass in the street. I would go out shopping in the centre of town and nobody would have noticed that I was a man dressed up. And I thought, that was boring. And so I just suddenly, almost overnight, decided I'm just going to wear my fantasy outfits, you know. And so I just started dressing much more in a extreme feminine way. So I went from immediately to the sort of what I think of as the sort of crack cocaine of femininity, which is the sort of little girl look with all of its frills and bows and ribbons and lace.
At his London clinic, James Barrett works with people who, unlike Grace and Perry, are struggling with who they are and who they want to be.
Some sorts of transvestism, specifically dual role transvestism, are disorders. And transsexualism is a disorder as well. The implication being from this that they've always been present but may not manifest themselves until later in life. Dual role transvestism is one of two broad categories of transvestism that attract any degree of medical attention. The first is fetishistic transvestism and is, if it causes the patient huge problems, a disorder of sexual preference and is being aroused by the wearing of female clothes. And men who do this tend, on the whole, to dress in the kind of clothes and in the manner that they would find sexually attractive were a woman to be doing it. Such men are usually heterosexual. Dual role transvestism, which is sometimes preceded by a history of fetishistic transvestism, is when men wear female clothes not because it's sexually arousing, although it might sometimes have been so in the past, but because instead it's relaxing or comforting or enables them to express some female side of themselves.
Krishna is within the Mahabharata stories, that's the longest, one of the oldest epics. And he takes many forms, so one of his...
Shamira Meghani from Leeds University in the UK. She studies classical South Asian writings, focusing on the body, desire, sexuality, and what she calls dissident gender. She's telling the tale of the god Krishna and his lover Radha. It provides an ancient context for cross-dressing.
They become the kind of archetypal story of true devoted love.
So a man can dress as a female,
woman.
Rather.
As a female.
In the religious literature of South Asia, the idea of a third gender often occurs, a shade of grey between the binary, between the black and white of male and female. It's not shocking for a man to dress as Radha in an act of devotion to Krishna, and that perhaps helps to explain the long history of tolerance when it comes to true intersex people. People like the Hijra. Born men, they have a feminine gender identity and wear women's clothes.
Hijras were accepted in to such an extent that they had some quite prestigious roles.
The British came.
Yeah.
The British came and changed life for the Hijra.
I mean, for the Hijras and obviously for everyone else as well. One of the ways in which Hijras earn money is badai work, which is blessing newborns and weddings in return for money. And this is seen as a legitimate form of earning. But after colonial legislation, it's recodified as begging. And so their social status really does go into decline. And following on from that, you know, if we're thinking about more recent times, Hijras still aim to do budeye work and do it, but it is also supplemented by sex work.
The Hijras now live on the margins of Indian society, banding together for protection. Many have been forced into prostitution to survive because these transgendered people transgressed against colonial laws, many of which are still in force today. It's a little ironic, given the freedom to be different that so many enjoy in the West.
Jasmine pulled on her white knickers and tucked herself in.
This is from a novel called Painted Ladies, written by Peter Ellis, the man who sometimes calls himself Penny. It's a crime thriller. The hero is Jasmine Frame, a detective born male, but taking the drugs and preparing for the surgery that will change him into her.
Her hips were narrow, but there was a hint of waist. She looked at her breast, then cut them with her hand.
I was always told to write from my experience. Well, I don't know much about murders and the police, but I do know a little bit about what it's like to be trans. I am not Jasmine Frame. As I said, I'm not interested in the medical side. Jasmine is a transsexual. She is taking the steps which transsexuals have to take in order to realise their ambitions to be the woman that they feel themselves to be.
But in writing this novel and promoting the book, Peter also revealed Penny to the world, breaking those ground rules that Alison spoke about earlier.
I had concerns, and still do sometimes, that despite everything that Penny has said so far, which is everything I've heard before, that the time might come when she'll want to go that bit further.
Penny? Do you feel that pressure growing? Do you spend more time as Penny than Peter than you used to?
I suppose I do spend a bit more time, but that's only because the opportunities arise now. Now I'm not actually working outside the home, there's a bit more opportunity. I always said that perhaps 2 or 3 days a week would be my ideal, and that's roughly what is happening now.
The horror nowadays, I think, is just people are scared of difference. And somehow that the world has to conform to their rigid idea of what it should be like. And once they learn that there's nothing threatening, I think, you know, what are they threatened about? I mean, they'll put up some sort of rationale for why they're threatened, but I think that's just tosh in the end. They're just scared of difference.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. The details of them all go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.